This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, the reaction to last week's episode from an alleged vampire expert, I guess, didn't do quite as well as I might have hoped before the show started. Because I think people kind of, sort of, expected a different kind of program. What do you think, Randall?
Yeah, it was kind of a surprise to me how it went as well. And it was pretty difficult for me to relate to it because I think so differently about religion and vampires, and it's right out there in the fringe for me. But Doug was taking it pretty seriously, given everything that we had to work with. We did a pretty good job for people who are, say, maybe getting a little tired of just the same UFO stuff all the time.
Well, this week we have the same UFO stuff. But we've got somebody this week who's been around for a while and became almost a celebrity or something back on October 11th, 1973. And before I introduce Calvin Parker to us, Randall, you were a young whippersnapper in 1973. Where were you?
I was out in B.C., actually, living in Windermere. And I was just going to school. I was hanging out with my friends, and that was about it. Yeah, I remember the story being on the news. So this has been a really long time for me that this story has come and gone in and out of the news and attention. So it's really kind of a treat to have Calvin on to talk to someone who goes that far back in my memory of UFO lore.
Now, I was covering the news beat at a radio station called WCOJ in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, which served the Philadelphia suburbs. We were about, 40 miles southeast of Philadelphia, about 30 miles from Lancaster, which was further west of us. And the station carried pretty well. Now, just to put things in perspective, since we mentioned religion, this station was founded by a couple of Jewish men from Philadelphia. And eventually, I guess when they died off, it was sold to a Christian-oriented organization that turned it into a religious radio station. So the irony is two Jewish men selling it, or at least the estate selling it to Christians, which certainly is respectful there, but just how it changed so much, the station. I thought one of the things I could do when we got the Paracast on commercial radio was to go back to the radio stations I was at. But as many of you know, radio stations go through lots of changes over the years in terms of formatting and like that. So therefore, what we do, or what we did in the 70s, none of the stations I was at probably have the same format, or even the same ownership, as a matter of fact. Like there. There's just a little story that came out about WCOJ, and this was in the Phoenixville News, which is in Pennsylvania. And the argument here is that ex-workers were devastated when Holy Spirit Radio bought this station and didn't really treat them very well, and as a matter of fact, probably fired them with little notice. Because in broadcasting, that's the way of the land. Anyway, I was covering the news beat as news director, and this story came on the wire services. On the side, I was co-publisher and editor of Caveat Emptor magazine. Have you read my magazines at all, Randall? It posted now.
I've browsed and just perused through a couple of them, but I just am so busy with so many other things that I haven't had a chance to do as much as I want. And really, what I'd like to do is also get some of those copied over onto the USI site as well, so that there's a sort of a mirror for them. And I guess we can talk about that later, but that would be something that I'd really like to do, as well as to see if I can get Don to share some more of the UFO magazine stuff.
He's talking about Don Ecker. Anyway, we read about a young guy and an older guy. Fisherman, right, Calvin Parker?
Yes, sir. We were fishermen fishing when this happened.
As fishermen, this was your profession? You were working for a company?
No, it was actually a shipbuilder's. We was working in the shipyards as ship fitters and welders, but we decided to go fishing when we got off work that day. So that's where it all started, after work.
So how did you meet Mr. Hickson? Just co-workers?
No, sir. My father and Charles Hickson was real good friends back in the 60s. We all lived in Sandersville, and we used to fish together, and I knew his children, and we played together. Charles was a good deal older than I was, so I never was really friends with Charlie, more associates, you know, till later on we became friends. But up until then, he was just an adult figure in my life that I knew, and Daddy knew him real well.
So how old were you on October 11th, 1973?
I was 19 years old, so...
Oh, boy. When I was 19, that was another story. When I was 19, I was working for Jim Moseley at Saucer News at 303 Fifth Avenue in New York. How times fly when you're having fun. Now, as a teenager, what was your expectation of life? You're working at this company, got yourself a job. Was this going to be your lifetime profession at that point, or you hadn't decided?
Well, I really hadn't decided, but I had intended for it to. Originally, I started when I was 17 in the oil field, and I worked in the oil field. That was 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I was in the process of getting married. This happened in October, and I was going to get married in November. So I said, well, you know, I need a real job, something I can be home some. So I took a job at the shipyard with Charlie just to have a real job, what I call a real job. That lasted 2 days.
Oh, boy. Did you actually get married?
I did. Got married November the 9th. Been married ever since.
To the same woman?
Yes, sir.
What's her name?
Dorothy Wynette Parker. We did take a little break apart from each other because of the stress of this happening, but... you know, it worked out. We together now. We have a daughter together, and it's just things are going really good for us right now.
You were telling me before we started the show, you are living just 6 miles from Pascagoula right now?
Yes, sir, I am. I'm living in a little community called, well, it's actually a city, Moss Point, Mississippi. And from the place where this happened, I can get my boat and be over there in 25 minutes, or I can get in a car and be over there in 25 minutes. About the same difference. But we moved down. We got such a good deal after the hurricane on a house. They had these 80% of the coast flooded during Katrina. And these houses had 7-8 foot of water in them. And you could buy them cheap because you had to fix them up. So we got such a good deal on the house, we went ahead and bought one down here and been here ever since.
A fixer-upper, as they say.
Yes, sir.
So yeah. You basically had to go through a lot of work to clean that out, dry it out, get things going again.
Oh, it stripped the whole inside out and all, rewire it, redo the drywall on the inside. So it was a lot of work. This house had 8 foot of water in it. We actually had a house in Laurel that got messed up then, too, because they're 100 miles apart.
Calvin, let me do our break, and then we'll get into more details about your case. The book, by the way, that he wrote is Pascagoula, The Closest Encounter, My Story, from Flying This Press. Calvin Parker joining us this week. Full-Bore into UFOs with our co-host, J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Broadcasting to over 1,000 radio stations, GCN programming is in all of the largest markets. A GCN advertising career could be the business opportunity you've been waiting for. Companies need hardworking representatives just like you to handle their needs while you earn residual income which can last for years. Companies are buying and they need you. Email advertise@gcnlive.com or call 877-996-4327. That's 877-996-4327.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We continue with Calvin Parker as we talk about his life. So what kind of work did you get into? Since your job lasted 2 days before this episode occurred, what kind of work did you finally get into?
Well, I left the coast after this episode and went back to my hometown, to Laurel, the oil field was really booming good there. So I went back to work in the oil field. And I worked in that until Jimmy Carter got elected president and the oil field crashed. It was, he overcharged there. They overproduced and you couldn't make a living in it no more because it just wasn't none of it. They started going overseas and all getting their oil. So then I had to get into construction work. So I run track hoes, bulldozers, and got a job as a superintendent on a construction crew and went to work for a real good friend of mine now that's down here. He's got an Indian company, and he's an Indian minority, and I went to work for him, and we become good friends. We fish together and travel around. Matter of fact, I just talked to him today, so, you know, we're still real close.
What does he think of what happened to you?
Well, you know, it's kind of strange. Up until just a few months ago, nobody knew because I wouldn't talk to them about it. They knew who I was and they knew something happened. But my friends, my family, I never talked to nobody about what had happened or where it was. And we just happened to be in one of my neighbors passed away and we was at his wake one evening and I signed the, book to get in. Well, there was people there from out of town and all, and they, for some reason, they recognized the name and they started swarming around and wanting pictures and taking autographs. And I just didn't feel like that was the place to do it. So me and my wife got in the car and left just out of respect for that family. And on the way home, she said, maybe you ought to write a book. Well, here I am sitting really uneducated, but, it was just a freak thing. When I got back to the house, there was a message there, and Hal Phillip had got my phone number with a flying disc. I don't know, but he was wanting me to do a book or do something to another book. Charlie Hickson had a book, and he was wanting me to write a comment on the back of that or something. And we ended up talking, so I ended up writing this book. And I'm glad I did now because it's got everything out in the open. Nothing's changed. And you being in the media, you know sometimes the media will beef something up to make it a little more than what it is. So I didn't like that. I, you know, tell it just exactly the way it is and write it down the way it is and don't beef it up. That's why I wanted to write a book. It's in a book. It's documented. They can't nobody change that. So it's there now.
So in writing a book, and you're not a writer, did you go and get somebody to help you out?
No, sir, I didn't. I just sat down. Philip asked me, he said, well, how long? He said, we could take 2 or 3 years to write this book. I said, take 2 or 3 years to write a book. And, you know, I don't have much of education, but I can sit down. I can read one in a week or two. I said, I know I could probably write one just as fast as I can read it. And the simple reason is I lived this story for 45 years. I've lived it every day. When I sat down to write the book, I told my wife, I said, I don't want no company. I don't want to talk on the phone. Every now and then bring me a glass of tea or a drink of water back here or something. So I got in the room. I closed the door. 2 weeks' time, the book was ready. And as I would do a chapter, I would email it to Philip, and he would go through it and edit it. Now, Philip knew how I was about not. He knows I didn't like no one to change the story off, so he let me keep it in my words. And the way he's caught a lot of criticism over there, not editing out some of the stuff, but the way it is just the way that it is. The truth is always the truth.
How was it that you got hooked up with Philip Mantle?
Martin Willis, a friend of mine that I knew back, been knowing for a long time, you know. Well, I can't really call him a friend, but he had called 2 or 3 times wanting to do a podcast. Well, he called one day, and we was on the phone, and I said, yeah, I'll go ahead, turn your recorders on, whatever you do. So I did a little short podcast. He said, you know, everybody's wanting to know how you're doing. Just tell them. So I had my email address and my phone number. So one day, Philip and was talking to Martin, and he was wanting to get a hold of me. Well, Martin said, well, you know, let me look through my files. I have his email address and his phone number in here, and maybe I can give them to you. and it just so happened to work perfect for that day that we was on the way home from the funeral home and got in, and we had been talking about a book, or my wife had, because actually I could have cared less if I'd done one.
Okay, let's go back in time. It's October 11th. You're going fishing with Charles Hickson. Did you catch anything, by the way?
No, so we caught a couple of little trash fish, what we call trash fish down here.
Okay. So what do you remember of that day, starting at the beginning?
Well, we had got off work at the F.B. Walker and Son Shipyard, and on the way home, it was hot for an October day. I mean, it was hot and humid, 100% humidity. So Charlie said, you know, instead of going on home and just eating and sitting around in this heat and stuff, cooling down, let's try to go fishing for a little bit. He said, it's late this evening and we'll cool down. So that sounds good. I said, I don't have no fishing equipment, Charlie. So he said, well, I got plenty. And down here, you know, it's just not heard of borrowing somebody's fishing equipment. But that day I did. So we went to his house. We picked up some equipment. And he said, I know a place not far from the house here. And they used to unload grain ships there. They got an old grain elevator. And where they unload that grain, some of that grain would fall off into the water and the fish come up there to eat them. And there's always plenty of fish there to catch. So I thought, well, maybe that's a pretty good idea. So we drove. It took about 15 minutes from his house, and we got to the site where we was going to fish. And the first thing I noticed, man, it was trashy there. There was tall marsh grass and a lot of trash on the ground. And I had asked him, why don't they clean this mess up? What's going on? He said, well, Calvin, what happens when it floods, and it does pretty regular down here, the water gets up and it brings all this trash out from under these people's houses because they built up on stilts and stuff, or anything in these fields that's washed up, and it brings it up on these lots. So when the tide goes out, it just leaves it there, and there's just no way to keep up with cleaning it up. That was an old abandoned shipyard we was fishing at, and they didn't have nobody to work there.
Can I ask you a quick question, just
sure,
so that we can get the setting in a little more detail? So about what time of day was this?
Before you answer that, we got to take care of business.
Okay.
We have Calvin Parker. The book is Pascagoula, The Closest Encounter, My Story, and we're getting into it now. With Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
The Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dillon Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dillon Bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dillon Bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dillon Bottle today at dyln.co. That's dyln.co.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. It was a day of smiles and tears for family and friends of Maverick Senator John McCain, who was honored at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. His widow Cindy tweeted, "We lost our hero, our friend, our mentor, our father, our grandfather, and my husband." President Obama talked about chats he and his former rival used to have.
John would come over to the White House, and we'd just sit and talk in the Oval Office, just the two of us. We'd talk about policy, and we'd talk about family. and we'd talk about the state of our politics.
President Trump didn't attend the ceremony because he wasn't invited. He went instead to his Northern Virginia golf club to relax. His daughter Ivanka and son-in-law Jared Kushner did attend the service at Washington National Cathedral. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 immediately. That's 800-605-6995. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-605-6995 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-605-6995. That's 800-605-6995. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 for your free author submission kit.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So Randall has activated the echo. We hope Calvin Parker doesn't mind. Okay, so Randall asked you the time of day, so let's start moving into this experience.
Okay, as far as exactly what time it was, I don't know. Charlie nor myself had a watch, but I'm figuring we probably got off work at 5:30. It was close to 6 o'clock because it's about 15 minutes to Charlie's apartment, about 15 minutes back over there where we were fishing. And the moon is getting close to the same time of the year, and it was about the same lightness as what it is now. So it was probably close to 6, not exact time, but real close in there.
It would have still been light outside then.
A little bit of light, yes, sir. We got out of the car and got our equipment, and it took a little while to walk through that mess to get down to the pier, and they had a no-steel pier there. And we had just got situated, and I had cast out there, and while I was fishing, I was looking across the river. My back was to the car, but I was looking across the river, and there was a big Coast Guard ship there. And I was thinking to myself, you know, they build these things out of steel. How in the world do they float? I have no idea how they float. And I noticed some blue hazy lights coming across the water from behind us. And that's what got my attention, you know, because my brain was just drifting, thinking about that ship. I turned around and looked. By the time we had turned around to look, there was a brighter light that happened. So I figured what had happened, this light was coming from inside the craft that had landed, and it got real bright, almost blinded bright, and it faded after these blue lights. So it was just a second, you know, we couldn't see there because it was having to squint your eyes and all. This was about 300 foot behind us, and about halfway up, I noticed there was three figures coming toward us, and we still couldn't make them out. But I knew they was moving on pretty good, but I didn't understand how because of the trash and all there. They was coming on good. Then they got closer, and I noticed they wasn't human. You know, it was more mechanical acting than human. Two of them got a hold of Charlie, and one of them got a hold of myself. And instantly, when they got a hold of me, they just gave me a knockout shot or something. I was thinking about running and scared and everything else, but when he grabbed me by the arm, I felt a little sting, and I just couldn't move. I mean, all I could do was look. I could see, but I couldn't turn my head one way or another. I didn't know where Charlie was. All I knew, I was floating toward this bright light. From this time on, I didn't see Charlie because I couldn't turn my head to look for him. But when we got to the door, the lights were so bright, and I remember looking. I didn't see any light fixtures inside the craft. All the lights looked like they was coming out of the walls, just illuminating out of the walls. So we took a little left turn, then we turned right. They took me into a separate room in there, and I don't know if it was a table, but they backed me up. They laid me down. Now, I didn't feel a table under me. It could have been a table under there, but I was on like a 45-degree angle. And the thing about it, the way they was moved back to the ship, I had left this part out. They was floating across the top of that grass, and I couldn't figure out why it didn't break my arms. I still had my thoughts, and I could still see. I just didn't have no body functions. When he laid me on this table, I was about a 45-degree angle, and there's something that come out of the ceiling about the size of a deck of cards, and it got right in front of my eyes, and I could hear it click. Then it went to my right ear, and I heard it click again, went behind my head, and it did that all the way around my head, and it clicked four times, and then it just shot back up into the ceiling. And when it did that, there's another beam come out, and this one looked real, you know. I'm calling it a her because it didn't look like that old big ugly one that brought me in there, but it was more of a feminine looking creature. And then she mumbled a little bit. She went like that, and the big ugly one left out of the room. He didn't walk out. He just kind of glided out. Well, she come over and got her hands. She grabbed me by the skin on the face and all, and I couldn't feel any body heat. I couldn't feel any texture in her hands, or I couldn't feel any pain. She pulled around on my mouth and looked around my nose a little bit. By that time, I was starting to come out of the little trance thing I was in, and I was thinking, you know, I'll just grab her around the neck, and we'll get out of here, and I'll have proof of what happened here. But it didn't work out that way. It's like she told me. She mentally, I call it mental telepathy, she had said, "Don't be afraid. We're not going to harm you." She turned around and made a little mumbling noise, and the big ugly one come back in. This was a frightening-looking creature, and he had to be a soldier or a robot or something. So when he came back in, he grabbed me by the arm, and I automatically went back straight up to the same position that he brought me in with. We glided across the marsh grass, and it didn't take but a second to get back to the pier. And he set me on the pier with my arms was stretched out facing the water then, and I couldn't move. And then I heard Charlie, Calvin, you okay, son? And when I turned around and looked, the bright lights just closed up. So I figured they had closed the door on the craft, and that thing made a little zipping noise and just shot straight up into the air.
Are these all conscious memories, or were they retrieved through hypnotic regression or a combination?
This was conscious memories, but Bud Hopkins, and I'll tell you a little bit about that in a little bit, had done a hypnosis session on me. This came out in 95, too. There's a lot more come out in that session.
Okay, so what you were telling us now, you remembered it when the incident occurred. But when you were hypnotized, you learned more about what went on.
There was a lot more that went on that I didn't remember. Matter of fact, I didn't even remember being hypnotized. Philip, the publisher, I had mentioned to him that Bud Hopkins tried to hypnotize me. He said, "Well, I know Bud. He passed away, but David Jacobs has his files and all." He said, I'm going to ask him with your permission to see if I can get a hold of him. I said, that's fine, but there's nothing in him. So it wasn't just the next day. He had got a hold of David Jacobs, and David had the original tape where Bud Hopkins had hypnotized me. And it was a long session. I would say a few hours. So when I got the transcripts back, I didn't even remember being hypnotized. I would have bet money I hadn't been because I didn't think I could be. And now when I went to be hypnotized, I took a friend with me because I had seen these old sideshows in Las Vegas before where they hypnotized a whole audience. And I always thought that was a bunch of bull. Apparently it wasn't, or they might not have been. But I was shocked when I started reading these transcripts on it. 99% of it I remembered, and it was in my subconscious mind. But what Bud did on the other part that I didn't remember, he put a post-hypnotic suggestion in my head that as I got to where I could handle it, I would remember it. There's some pretty brutal stuff that happened in there. The only reason I went to see Bud was in the 90s. I left going fishing one day, and I was supposed to be back before dark. So I went to a little island over here, Cat Island, and I was supposed to be back home before dark. So I told my wife I'd be home 3-4 o'clock in the evening. I packed a lunch, and I left, and I went. And I remember sitting there fishing, and I said, well, you know, I need to go ahead and eat this lunch before it runs out here. I didn't have no ice to mount to anything. And next thing I knew, it was 4 o'clock in the morning, and I come to, and my lunch was still there. I didn't know what had happened. I was thinking of clips and everything else. But I had that much missing time when I got home. I didn't believe it where I'd been.
We've got more with Calvin Parker. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
When you use public Wi-Fi, hackers and identity thieves can see anything you do online. Embarrassing photos, your web history, even your passwords. That's why I use private internet access to encrypt my internet connection for less than 10 cents a day. Sign up now at privateinternetaccess.com, and in just a few minutes, you'll be browsing anonymously and only sharing what you want to share. Privateinternetaccess.com. It's time to protect your online privacy.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So Calvin Parker is talking about his interactions and a subsequent experience. But before we get into that, Calvin, I want to ask you, before October 11th, had you ever read about UFOs? Did you have any experiences, weird experiences, not necessarily UFOs before then?
Well, I never read about them. I didn't know what a UFO was. I mean, I wouldn't even have known that terminology if somebody had told it to me. But I did have a weird experience. My brother and I used to have to share a room when we were small. And the time period that I remember and the reason I can put it together, because John F. Kennedy was assassinated right about that time. So that was one event that I remember to get a time schedule on it. He woke up saying there was a ghost in the room leaning over me. I never believed him. I thought he just got paranoid and scared. But that's about the closest thing that I could remember happening then. But as far as reading about them, you know, there was three TV stations back in, ABC, NBC, and CBS. And we come in Sunday evenings, the only time we was allowed to watch TV and watch Walt Disney. You didn't have no cell phones. You didn't have no computers. You know, it was a great world back then without all this stuff.
When did you run across Bud Hopkins' Missing Time book then?
Well, I've actually never read the book, but I had heard he had one with people missing time. So, and a friend of mine had told me that. And I said, had heard he was speaking at a conference in somewhere in Florida, in Tampa, Florida, somewhere around there. So I said, well, I'm going to drive down there and talk to Bud. So I asked this friend of mine to go with me because I didn't want to be seen in that conference. I know if I had went in there, they'd wanted me to talk, and I didn't want to talk about it. So I got him to go in to where Bud was speaking. And he told Bud who I was out there. Of course, Bud knew my name and said I wanted to talk to him. So Bud told us to go on back to his motel room that he would see me when he got through there. And that's when he came back to the room, and I agreed to be hypnotized by him. But I made that friend of mine stay in there with me when he did.
Interesting. So when you were floated back out of the craft then, it seemed like it was a very short period of time, but later it turned out that you realized that it was actually longer than you thought it was. Am I getting that correct?
Yes, sir. It was a little more time consuming there than what I thought. And it was so much going on when we were floated back out. You know, we went through this deal where We had to figure out what we was going to do. I didn't want to tell nobody. This is right when I come out. We was sitting back on the pier talking about what had happened. So I didn't want to tell nobody. Charlie didn't want the press to know or nothing, but he did want to tell somebody. So he decided he was going to call Keesler Air Force Base in Biloxi and tell them what happened. So we went to a payphone outside of a little store, and all the stores, you know, back in were closed up at 6 o'clock in the evening. So we got to this payphone. He called Keesler, and he told them, they said, we don't fool with UFO sightings or nothing like that anymore. You call your local authorities on that. So he ended up calling the local sheriff department, and they sent a patrol car out at the store, told us not to move, just to stay right there. They sent a patrol car out, and it didn't take them long to get there either. And they did a field sobriety test on us and all to check and see if we'd been drinking, and said, okay, y'all follow us back to the sheriff department.
You know, that sounds kind of intrusive, saying, well, maybe you were drunk when you had this experience.
Yeah, and I could understand it if somebody had told me that. That's probably one of the first things I would have thought. Now I wouldn't. You know, I sit there and listen to them, see what they had to say, then make up my mind. But they checked to be sure we weren't drinking and all, and took us to the sheriff department, or we followed them there. And they put us in different rooms and interrogated us. Then they put us in the same room together and left us in there together. Now, little did I know, they had a tape recorder in the room, and that's what they call the secret tapes that's come out on this deal. They let Charlie and I sit there and talk back and forth with each other, and then they come in, and I knew they got something out of the drawer over there and walked in another room. I didn't know it was a tape recorder. They came in and got the tape recorder out, took it in there and let the sheriff listen to it. He came in there and told us, well, y'all can go home now. I said, Sheriff Diamond, I said, please don't tell nobody about this. I don't want no publicity. And he says, no, we don't. We're not in the news thing. We law enforcement. Well, you don't have to worry about it.
But they were there for testing you to see if it's something you made up by listening to have you talk with each other.
Exactly right. And I'm glad they did now, because that knocked down a lot of rumors, like the drinking rumor, you know, and knocked down a rumor about the fear that we went through while we were sitting in there. So we went on home. Next morning, we got up, going to go back to work. And when we got to work, I noticed there was more cars out there than it usually was. But we, what they call brassed in, instead of a time clock, you got a piece of brass, you hand them, and they mark it in. And we went on to our workstations. Now, we wasn't there 5 minutes. They was calling us to the office. So I thought, oh, Lord. I got sick on my stomach because I just didn't want to talk to nobody. But I knew there was a reason they was calling us. So they called us to the office. And when they did, they said, we got to shut down our office more or less today because of the news, the media attention. The phones is ringing off the hook. We can't conduct no business in here. He said, the media's over everything. So they got their attorney, Joe Flamingo was his name, to come down there and handle the media and to make sure they got us to a hospital. And then they took us and got us checked for radiation. But it was all heck break loose there for a little while. I mean, the media was hounding on us. Later, when they got through with us, I asked the sheriff, why did y'all tell him? He said, we didn't. The only thing I could figure that might have happened, that the word got out, was back then, like I say, there wasn't no computers, there wasn't no cell phones, but everybody had these scanners, and they would listen to the fire department, the sheriff department. In other words, people just doing what they do best, being nosy. So that's got to be the way that they picked it up. And I know that had to be it, because I had a scanner myself. I didn't have it on that day, but I had one. And I'm almost sure that's how the word got out. And somebody started calling the press asking about it.
If we could back up to when you were taken out of the craft,
Did you just find yourself back at the pier kind of thing, or do you remember kind of being floated back over the grass? Or
no, I remember being floated back to the grass. I could see. I just couldn't move. I could see as we left the door, and I could see across the river, and I was kind of moving over the top of the grass. It was actually a pretty good feeling, you know, just kind of floating through there like that.
And then they set you down back by the river and along with Charlie?
Yes, sir. They put me in almost the same place they picked me up in. It probably wasn't 2 foot difference, except this time I was out facing the river and my arms were stretched out and I couldn't get them down for a second. But Charlie said that he got weak on his legs and he fell down, and he had trouble getting up when he seen me, but he got up, you know, and he started talking to me to be sure I was okay.
And how did you guys find getting around after that? Could you see okay? And, you know, was there plenty of visibility?
Yeah. Once that door closed and all them bright lights was gone, it didn't take but a minute. The next day, my eyes was kind of swelled a little bit and puffy and watering a little bit. And I think that was from all the bright lights that was coming out. Charlie's was too. But I had asked him at that hospital they took us to get checked. And they said, well, y'all weld for a living, so it could be, you know, you watch somebody weld, but... That's not what I did because I was careful to watch my eyes when I was doing that.
Let's have another break and then continue with the story. Calvin Parker with Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.